What's up, freaks? It's your boy Marty here to introduce this rip of TFTC. I sat down with Andy Schoonover, founder and CEO of Crowd Health, one of our core sponsors here at TFTC. Just get an update what's going on at Crowd Health, how they're implementing the Lightning Network, how the model's working, whether or not doctors are getting interested. Very important stuff. Opt out. I think the lesson of this episode was what, Logan? What was the lesson?
Opt out.
No, well,
that's what you said to me just now.
What are we hitting? Did you even listen?
I block out every single episode as soon as we're done.
We're hitting the hard button. God damn it, he failed. What are we hitting?
The hard button?
The hard button. Some inspiration for TFTC. We're going to hit the hard button before it hits you. I'm kidding. It was great catching up with Andy. Opt out of bad money, opt out of bad food, opt out of bad healthcare. It's pretty simple. I guess you could say opt out. I'll give you partial credit for saying opt out. Logan. This rip is brought to you by good friends at River. River, best place to buy Bitcoin. If you're looking to stack sats, go to river.com/TFTC. Set up an account today. You can DCA using River. If you do dollar cost average, you're not going to pay any fees. I think they just made it so you can DCA every hour if you want to. They just added an Android app. If you're an Android user, you're looking for the River app, it's available now in the App Store. They released that last week. I forgot to say that during the Mike Benz ad read. Sorry, River. New Android app. You can set limit orders. If you want to buy at a certain price below or above the current price, you can set those orders to execute a trade at some point in the future. If the price does or does not, well, it would have to hit it to execute the buy. You can do that. You can set up auto withdrawals via River as well. They back all their reserves one-to-one. And multi-sig cold storage. They don't have any third-party dependencies on Fortress Trust or any of those companies out there. They built everything in-house. If you're going to stack sats, go to River. They make it very easy. Go to river.com/TFTC. This rip is also brought to you by a good friend down the hall, Unchained. Unchained is here building the financial platform of the future, which leverages Bitcoin's native multi-sig properties. They have their Vault product, which is a 2S3 multi-sig wallet. And you can hold two keys in that quorum. Now, they have released multi-institution, which allows you to decide you can hold one key in that quorum or no keys as well. It's a beautiful thing. Multi-institution, multi-sig is the standard. Unchained is pushing the standard forward. They were the first to market with their lending product, which is a multi-institution, multi-sig product where you put Bitcoin up as collateral to get USD liquidity. You have one key in that quorum, so you have visibility. You know that your Bitcoin's not being rehypothecated. Kingdom Trust and Unchained hold the other two keys. It's a beautiful thing. They have an IRA product as well. They just launched Sound Advisory, which is an IRA service. They have an inheritance protocol. They're building the future. Set up a consultation with the team down the hall just to learn about what they're doing, how they do it, and why they're doing it. Go to unchained.com/consultation. That's unchained.com/consultation. Tell them that TFTC sent you. Say, Marty from down the hall said I should come talk to you. This was also brought to you by our good friends at Crowd Health.
Crowd Health, press the hard button.
Logan, jumping in to the ad read. I mean, I said it during the conversation. I'm a Crowd Health user, a Crowd Health community member. I've been doing it for almost 2 years now. Me and my family are very happy with it. It's a better model. It's cheaper for us, has been significantly cheaper for us up to this point. So go to joincrowdhealth.com/TFTC, set up an account, Crowd Health, you pay a monthly fee. If you ever have a health event, you go to the doctor, you get the bill, you bring it back to Crowd Health, they negotiate it lower, you pay the first $500 of that bill, and then the rest is crowdfunded by the Crowd Health community, which, as you'll learn in this episode with Andy, is growing pretty significantly. It's a beautiful thing to see. You can opt out of bad health insurance policies of the healthcare system. More doctors are beginning to opt in to Crowd Health because they see the value of opting out of hospital systems and health insurance and going directly to the end patients. It's a beautiful thing. Go to joincrowdhealth.com/TFTC or use the promo code TFTC at checkout, and you're going to get $99 a month for your first 6 months, or $99 for the first 6 months of your subscription. It's a beautiful thing. Joincrowdhealth.com/TFTC or just use the code TFTC at checkout. Last but not least, this rope is brought to you by Bitcoin Talent Co., a recruiting firm built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. If you're a company in the space looking to hire the best talent, go to BitcoinTalent.co, tell them the TFTC sent you, and leverage the incredible resources they have. Andy, the co-founder, built the team at Uber, the hiring team at Uber, took them from 100 to, I believe, over 10,000 employees. He knows what he's doing. He's a Bitcoiner. The rest of the team, Eric, everybody else at Bitcoin Talent Co. is a Bitcoiner. They understand multisig. They understand Lightning. They understand mining. They're going to know what you need within your company. So go to them. They will find the best talent that may be hiding in other industries and bring them to you so that we can build the Bitcoin standard. On top of that, they have a flex product where maybe you don't need a full-time employee. You don't want to take up all the operational expenses that come with that, all the upfront costs that come with that. You just need somebody for a 3 month or a 6 month sprint to finish a design sprint, an engineering sprint, a growth marketing sprint, whatever it may be. Hit up their flex product. They have a roster of people waiting on the bench to come do contract work for you. So go to BitcoinTalent.co, tell them the TFTC sent you, and enjoy this rip with our good friend, Andy.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
It's always like the good stuff happens before it actually records.
I think it's the only way podcasts work. You know, it's you have to record the good stuff before you actually hit record.
There you go.
Just kidding. This is going to be filled with good stuff. Andy, it's been like a year.
A year. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for coming on.
Yeah. I mean,
you're right outside the door here. It's not hard to find you to get you on.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. This is like our prime time. So we think like 60% of our customers are going to come in the November, December, and January months.
This is open enrollment
season. Open enrollment season. Everybody's like, what do I do with healthcare next year? It's like doing taxes in April or October or whatever you do them. It's like, this sucks. Like, I got to go through healthcare.gov. I got to get my W-2s. I got to turn those in because healthcare.gov wants my W-2s now, which is ridiculous.
Is this relatively new?
Since the government started doing subsidies, mm-hmm. you actually just have to turn in your paychecks so that they can validate your income.
Your right to get healthcare.
Your right to get healthcare. So, we're in the middle of it. We're in the middle of it and things are going well.
Yeah. And like we were just discussing the good things before we record. I mean, there's two things we want to cover predominantly, or I want to cover. You guys have integrated Lightning, really pushing forward Bitcoin as a medium of exchange to pay for your healthcare and support healthcare providers on the back end. And then number two, what I'm really curious, maybe where we could start, is has the economic situation deteriorated to a point where healthcare costs are beginning to enter the economic calculation people are taking into consideration on a month-to-month basis? And with that in mind, like, it seems to me, I've experienced this personally with me, my family, using CrowdHealth for over a year now, year and a half. It's much cheaper, has been. And it's like the economic decision for healthcare that makes the most sense for us. Even though we probably could pay for more expensive healthcare, it's just a better experience and cheaper overall.
Yeah. I think it has. My board member interestingly asked me this. It was either last board meeting or the one before. It's like, do you guys do better during the up times or the down times? And for a variety of reasons, the down times. I mean, we're getting a ton of people who've been laid off by all these companies that have a decision to make. They can go on Cobra which is ridiculously expensive. In essence, what COBRA is you take both your responsibility and the employer's responsibility, and you have to pay them both now. So it doubles or maybe triples. You know, you can go uninsured, you can do crowd health, or you can do something else. And so we're getting a lot of people coming off of COBRA. So that's one, you know, it's good for us in that way. And then, you know, two, it's just easier to operate, you know, in terms of hiring people and getting people on board and things like that when, you know, Facebook's not paying a developer $500,000 anymore. You know, so it's easier actually to operate within this environment. And we have a lot more people who are looking for alternatives. I mean, with that said, I mean, one of those interesting things about crowd health is, and I posted this on Twitter the other day, people come because it's low price, but it's actually, I think, bigger. Like, you're now a part of a community on a mission. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we are in the same tribe. I mean, we literally sit next to each other, you know, and Parker sits in between us, and he's a crowd health member, you know, and Jimmy Song was in here yesterday doing some, and he's a crowd health member. And so we're actually like a part of this little community of crowd health members that are helping each other out with healthcare expenses. And that's step one. Step two is like, can we take now this little group of people, we'll be at like 6,000 by the end of the month. Decent chunk of group people who can then take Bitcoin and incorporated into this and now see our, you know, what we all love being used more widely in the economy. I mean, and that's what I'm fired up about. So, I mean, we talked about this last year, but I wanted to start crowd health to first take down healthcare. Mm-hmm. But I think I said burn down healthcare. ATF called me. and then it's like, once we get like some critical mass, then we can use that group to expand the use of Bitcoin. You know, and I think there's probably one more step into our food system of saying, like, how do we actually impact, you know, the crap that we're putting in our bodies and make some incentives to allow people to eat better, right? And those are the three steps that I want to go down. We're on step two, but we're super excited about it.
Yeah. And approaching 6,000 members, that's a way bigger community than this time last year when we first recorded. And
yeah, I can't remember what it was, but I think it was maybe a couple thousand.
Yeah, I think it might be 3 or 4x.
Yeah, 3 or 4x what we were last year. That's about right. We're about 3x this year versus last.
And so what have some of the growing pains or growing pleasures that you've experienced over the last 12 months?
Yeah, I mean, the growing pleasures are way easier, right, to talk about. It's working. You know, anytime you have a startup, there's a number of things that you're like, this could blow this thing up, you know? And it's like, my deal as a CEO is to reduce the risk of any one of those things blowing up. Mm-hmm. Like, the big one is, are the bills going to actually get paid? Right? Like, if I ask Marty to help me with my bill, is Marty going to say yes, or is he going to say no? And it's like 98% of the people say yes. Like, that's worked. And that's been for now 2 years. So it works. The bills are getting paid. Then the question is like, can we actually get bills for a significantly lower cost than health insurance plans? And the answer to that has been yes. So we're at about somewhere between 140 and 150% of Medicare. So whatever Medicare pays, we pay about 40% more. Health plans pay 250 to 300% more. So you can do that math. We're like half mm-hmm. of what health plans pay.
Which is significant.
I shared the story again on Twitter, but my father-in-law had a gallbladder surgery two weeks ago. And I forget exactly what the number was, but it was like $45,000 for a gallbladder surgery. And that was in Austin. And we had a member that got one last week at like $5,000.
Yeah. One-eighth the price.
One-ninth the price. Whatever it was. And they were in Arkansas. So, I mean, it's one state away. So there's probably a little bit of a thing, but it's not 90% different. I mean, or whatever, 500% different, you know, in Arkansas than it is in Austin. But it just proves that, like, we have been able to really get people to awesome docs at a reasonable price.
Well, that gets to another question. Like, the awesome docs, like, obviously, users like myself in the community have really seen the value of the crowd health model. Are you seeing more doctors become aware of what you guys are doing, and not only that, but excited about it?
I'm more excited about it than our members are.
Really?
Yeah. They're like, man, please, will you send people our way? And we don't have any direct relationships with docs because we don't want to make like a network. Mm-hmm. But we have docs reaching out to us on, you know, Twitter and all kinds of places every day being like, please, will you send people my way? So it's been amazing to see that, because they want to release themselves from, health insurance the same way you and I want to release ourselves from the fiat world, right? Yeah. Like health insurance is their fiat world.
Yeah.
Right. And so they were like, please, like anything you can do, because you know, the thing that happens is United Healthcare, for example, is a lot of these guys like 40, 50, maybe even 60% of their revenue. So if you think of a business that has one customer for 60% of their revenue, that's not good. Yeah. They can come in and really jam you.
That's concentration risk.
That's concentration risk is what they call it in MBA school. Yes. You know, and so United will come in, you know, and allegedly they've done this, and say, like, you have to take 20% cuts or we're out. You can't beat our network. And I was like, what do you do? You know, what do you do? You have to sell to the hospitals what you have to do. Mm-hmm. And then the hospitals get huge and consolidate and take those rates and they jack them up, because now it's a duopoly in Austin with St. David's and Ascension against a basically a duopoly, you know, it's an oligopoly, but maybe a duopoly oligopoly in the health insurance space. So just prices go up. Like it's just basic economics, you know?
Yeah, no, and it's insane. You have those concentrating market forces, prices are going up, inflation's running rampant. You mentioned mass layoffs across many different sectors, and healthcare is something that is one of the most important expenses that people deal with. And so having this option, and then the CrowdHealth team sort of advocating on behalf of the patient at the end of the day is massive.
Yeah. Well, I mean, think about like running a business and you have not only concentration risk with a customer, but the customer that absolutely hates you. Right? Like that sucks.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Like that's, I mean, one of the best things, kind of going back to your original question, like the things we've learned is like, it's fun, like with our customers, because our members are like, we want to take down this system, like help us take down the system.
Well,
it's pretty cool.
I wanted to mention it earlier, but as you were describing that, the parallels to the beef initiative and going out and shaking your rancher's hand are impossible to ignore. Like it's just this grassroots movement through initiatives like the Beef Initiative and CrowdHealth to go fix the problems that you view as systemically serious in your life.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's totally right. There's a flywheel effect to that too, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's this month will probably be like 50% of our customers come from our existing customers. Mm-hmm. So we do some advertising on podcasts, including yours.
Had somebody email me over the weekend.
Yeah.
They're going to move over.
Yeah. And so it's, you know, we give our members $250 if you refer somebody, or a million sats, which is way more than $250 now. We originally were like, hey, it'll be $250 or a million sats, when a million sats was $250. And now it's way more than $250.
It's like $350.
And now we're like, hey, you know what? Bitcoin went up, but we're still giving you a million sats. Like, that's just how we are.
Hell right? Yeah.
Because we bought the sats way back then. So you get the upside. Congrats. You know, so if anybody's listening to that and this and is a CrowdHealth member and they have a buddy or a friend who's looking for healthcare, a million sats. We've got, you know, lots of sats stacked up, ready to give away.
Hell yeah. Open enrollment season. Go tell your friends.
Tell your friends.
And how has the incumbent health insurance industry changed, if at all, over the last year? Any big news items or?
I mean, nothing is significant. Nothing significant. I mean, the thing that's happening right now is, you know, clearly the government owns the poor. And I use that word owns specifically, like on purpose, right? Like they have to go to the government now for pretty much everything, including their health insurance. You know, the government owns the old, you know, 65 and above. And now what they've done is for the healthcare.gov plans, they've now taken, you know, another middle chunk and say, we're going to totally subsidize you, but we're going to just fund the private insurance companies to do that. So in essence, you know, they're trying to go from old to young and from poor to rich, and they're going to meet somewhere in the middle. And ultimately going to, you know, it's a fight to a single payer. I mean, this is ultimately, unfortunately, where I think we'll end up in the next decade if we don't do something serious. Because what's happening is what we're seeing is these employers are getting another massive increase this year. And these are big employers like General Electric and, you know, JP Morgan and all these people, right? And they're going to these to the legislators and they're saying, man, look, we can't compete with China because we have to own the healthcare costs, you know, and so it's just impossible to compete. And so government, what you should do is you should take over healthcare, right? This is what's happening from these big organizations. Yeah. You know? And so then the legislators are saying, look, you know, we can't compete. We're losing jobs. Like, they're making to make this narrative around how this is actually good for U.S. business.
Are they saying people are going to go work in China because of the healthcare, or?
No, well, we're just saying we're losing competitiveness with China in terms of our businesses being able to compete with them on the globally, mm-hmm. because we're responsible. They're responsible for the healthcare costs, whereas in China, the government pays for all the healthcare costs.
So it's the opportunity cost of having to pay for employee healthcare.
Expense structure, expense structure. Or think about Europe. Europe pays, you know, pretty much everywhere in Europe, with some exceptions. The government pays for all of their. So if you have a company in the United States where the company in the United States has to pay for the health insurance, which for a single person, $7,000 a year. For a family, it's 21 or something like that, $1,000 a year. And the company in Europe doesn't have to pay for the healthcare expenses. The company in Europe has a leg up on the United States company because the cost structure is just significantly different.
Completely right? different.
And so that's what they're saying, is we can't compete anymore globally because of this healthcare crisis. And that's ultimately, I think, going to lead to the government saying, okay, we'll take it. You know, we're doing it because the business has told us to. That's ultimately where this is going.
Yeah. And the whole, it's funny, it's striking at branches instead of solving the root of the problem. It's like, do these companies not realize what they're saying? There's a healthcare crisis. Like, what is driving that healthcare crisis at the end of the day? Why are your health expenses being driven through the roof and making it so that you're less competitive with the global marketplace?
Yeah. Well, then they're not even looking at it. They're looking at it just in terms of the line item being really, really big. But most of these companies, look, if you're in, you know, a software business, a SaaS business that has nothing to do with healthcare, and you see this line item of healthcare, you're kind of like, I don't know what to do with this, right? Like, I'm good at SaaS. I'm good at, you know, writing code. Like, healthcare is not in my wheelhouse, so I'm going to let somebody else do it. And then they don't even look at it, and so they end up, you know, just basically fueling this crazy insurance-driven healthcare system where, you know, as we've talked on their last one, the last couple of times I've been on here, is it fuels price increases because that's all the incentives. It's just, it's going to increase prices.
Yeah. Not only increase prices, but due to the pricing power that these insurance companies have and these hospital systems have, we've talked about this too, like the incentives of actually providing good care are significantly diminished. And that's one of the favorite aspects of crowd health in my mind. And supplementing crowd health or crowd health with direct personal care.
Yeah, DPC, yeah.
Is that I do think this is going to be a trend. I just see it in my own life. It's like we're interacting for pediatricians with that duopoly you mentioned here in Austin. And I believe we used ARC, and it was just a terrible experience and very impersonal. No room for negotiation, like trying to see our perspective. And we went once. We're like, we're never going again. We found Veronica.
Great.
And
she's great.
She's awesome. But it's funny. My wife has said it multiple times, like using ultra personal healthcare, going to Veronica is probably her favorite aspect of moving to Austin.
That's awesome.
It's healthcare like she's never experienced in her whole life.
Yeah. So what others out there understand what we're talking about is, in essence, what's happened is a lot of these doctors have said, I'm getting out of this system. I'm not doing it anymore. So I'm going to have a direct relationship with my patients. And so the patients pay Veronica, in this case, with ultra personal healthcare, directly on a month to month basis. And what is it, like $100 a month per person or something like that? Or
adults, and then I think it's 150 adults, 50 for children.
Yeah. So you have a direct relationship with the doctor. You're paying the doctor. I've said this multiple times, but it's like you work for whoever pays you, right? And right now in our system, the doc works for the insurance companies. They don't work for you, right? And in your situation, you're paying Veronica directly. In all crowd health situation, crowd health members are paying their doctor directly. The doctor gets to be work for you again. And they, once you tell them that, there's a massive change in the way that they act. They're like, okay, great. This is between me and you.
Yeah. It's a conversation.
It's a conversation.
I want to hear your needs, understand your personal healthcare journey, because it's different for everybody. It's not just some form fit solution that the health insurance company or the hospital system gives you. It's actually like a conversation and an ongoing one, which is great.
Yeah. And the doctors don't have to ask the insurance company's permission anymore for what they can or cannot do, because it's back between the patient and the doctor, which is the way it should be.
And it's affordable.
Yeah. It's, yeah. I mean, you add DPC plus crowd health, which is an awesome combination, is still way less expensive than your typical health insurance plan. And you're getting way better service from my perspective. I mean, you got Veronica, you can call her any time of day, day or night, if you have an issue.
We've texted her at 1 a.m. before on a weekend, she answered.
Yeah.
Or somebody with internet network answered almost immediately.
And then for the big stuff, you can lean on crowd health. What you had something with your, this is PHI, so I don't mean to talk about your kids, you know.
Your son got a rock in his ear. He had a rock in his ear.
He got a rock in his ear.
He had to get it removed.
And that was, what, $1,500 or something like that? And yeah. So it wasn't huge, but it was bigger, you know, and then you paid for the first $500, and I remember crowdfunding it. And I, you know, we asked, I don't know what it was, 10 people or something like that for $100, and you got it paid for.
Yeah.
Within not too long of a period of time. Like, so DPC, direct primary care for the little stuff, crowd health for the big stuff, and you're still paying less than you would, you know, a Cigna plan.
Annually. Yeah.
Annually. Yeah. Yeah.
And even if it was parity, it's less, but even if it was parity, I'd pay for it because the experience is much better.
And the experience is way better. Yeah.
It's literally, you don't, the impersonality of health insurance and the massive corporate healthcare system is so impersonal that I would pay more for the experience I have with Crowd Health plus DPC. It just pans out that I'm paying less, which is even better.
We had somebody on Instagram today tell us about her surgery, and it was like, I've been in Crowd Health for two years. I went into surgery, and Crowd Health called the surgeon the day of to make sure everything was good, ready to go, called the front desk, wanted to make sure when I showed up, everything was taken care of. And the front desk ladies were like, what is this company? Because it's usually the insurance company being like, no, we're not doing this. We're not, you know, like, it's like an enemy of the patient. Whereas we're like, making sure everything's good, like making sure you're taken care of, like those types of things. It's just a totally different experience.
Yeah. No, I mean, you get the healthcare advocate, you walk you through the process of what you need to do, getting the bills, submitting them,
yeah,
getting them paid on the back end.
And we're gonna a big thing for 24 is we're gonna make that a little bit more frictionless, which will be cool. You know, in essence, what we're doing is, you know, the way I tell my wife, this is clearly different than your audience, but my wife is not a Bitcoiner. She like, you know, like, she wants to make sure that when she pays for something, it can get paid for, and that's about it, right? But the way I explain it to her is like, hey, you have a Venmo account. She gets Venmo, right? Mm-hmm. And what if everybody had Venmo accounts? You know, and we as the Schoonover family needed help, then we'd have a bunch of people sending us money, and then we could pay for that help right out of our Venmo account, or we could, you know, off-ramp it to our Bank of America or PNC or whatever bank account, and we could pay for it that way. But in essence, you have your little healthcare wallet, right? And that's what we're doing. You have your little healthcare wallet. You can fill it up if you want to. You can take it down if you want to, but you got a little healthcare wallet there that, you know, you can pay at the point of care in Lightning. You can do that with Veronica because she now accepts Bitcoin, mm-hmm. Which that's ultimately what we want to do, right? Like, everybody should have a wallet and pay directly with Lightning. And if you can't pay with Lightning, then, you know, pay with fiat. And on the back end, we'll kind of reimburse you with, you know, Bitcoin. And so then you can keep that Bitcoin in that wallet and just hold it, or you can pull it down and off ramp it, or send it to, you know, your Unchained account or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, that just seems like a way better way of doing this.
And so let's dive into it. Like, how have you guys approached implementing Bitcoin, particularly the Lightning Network?
You know, we've been trying to do something with Bitcoin for a long time. And we, you know, in typical startup fashion, have tried, and some of it has gone well and some of it has not gone well. You know, hopefully our members, I think they do. They're like, they see the heart behind this, is like, man, we really want to incorporate Bitcoin into what we do. You know, I sat with Jimmy Song down at the Capitol Grill a few years ago, and he's like, man, you know, these health insurance companies are holding this big bucket of fiat and it's declining, you know, minute by minute. You know, what if you held that bucket in Bitcoin? And that's got me thinking, like, man, we should just let our members hold kind of any excess funds in Bitcoin, and they can do with it whatever they want with it, right? So for an individual, you know, it's $125 a month that we ask for people. We're only spending somewhere between $75 and $100. So what if that other 25 or that 50, you could let people, you know, just stick into Bitcoin and they can save it and they can do with it whatever they want. But it was custodian. And we know all the stuff that's going on right now with custodians. Mm-hmm. A bit of a mess.
Yeah.
The custodian we used, we just, you know, our two of our biggest states disappeared. Like, it was just a mess. And we're like, all right, why don't we just let people hold their own money? Like, so, you know, if it's $125, we need 75 for Marty's, you know, rock in your ear. And, you know, the remaining 50, you keep it, and then you can put it wherever you want. You buy Bitcoin, you can put it in custody, non-custodial, whatever, wherever you want to put it. Like, that's our second step. And people are like, why can't I save in Bitcoin? And I'm like, no, we're letting you keep your money so you can invest in Bitcoin. But it wasn't as easy. We're like, all right, let's try again. You know, ultimately where we've landed is saying, if we can put a Bitcoin wallet, a Lightning wallet, in the CrowdHealth app, and then let people fund each other's healthcare expenses through the Lightning wallet, which is way better than the fiat rails for so many reasons. One, your transaction fees go to basically zero. I mean, it's not zero, but it's pretty darn close. Mm-hmm. It's instantaneous, which people don't understand the fiat rails. Like, we don't see this on the customer side, but like, you got to let this stuff settle before you can actually move it, yeah. You know? And so sometimes it's 3 days, sometimes it's 6 days with ACH, sometimes it's 12 days, depending upon the banks. And so the back end of that is just like craziness. It's a mess. Whereas the Lightning, like, I can get money to you, you know, I can do it right now and you get it instantaneously, right? And so that's the beauty of using the Lightning wallet. So in essence, this is the way it would work, right? You have your $15 rock in your ear. Or let's say it's 2,000 and 1,500. You paid the first $500 of it. The 1,500, we would go to all of the Bitcoiners and we say, hey, 15 of you, send Marty $100 worth of Bitcoin via Lightning. I would send you an invoice. You would accept it. You would have money in your Lightning wallet because you've already pre-stocked it. And it's going to go directly to Marty's wallet. And Marty, within minutes now, is going to have the $15 he needs to pay for your son's rock in his ear. Now, if that doctor accepts Lightning, you can pay in Lightning directly from that wallet. And if the doctor doesn't accept Lightning, then you have choice. I can pay in fiat $1,500 and hold that $1,500 in Bitcoin, which you're just transferring fiat assets to Bitcoin assets is what's happening there. Or you can off-ramp it and you can use that money then to pay your doctor. Right. And ultimately, we think the circularity will be, you know, 1 or 2% in year one, like, you know, Lightning to Lightning to Lightning to Veronica, who's accepts Lightning and she holds it in Lightning. But it's like, can we start at 1 or 2% and get to 3 or 4% and get to 10% and get to 15%? Like, that's where we want to see gradual increases. So, you know, online, you know, the Twitter sphere, people are like, oh, there's just nobody to accept it. And I'm like, yeah, we got to have people willing to pay it before people are going to accept it. Right. So let's start at 1 or 2% and then move our way up. And I think if we can just take a small chunk of the healthcare space, $4.3 trillion, like just a small, tiny chunk,
10 bips,
right? You could say, hey, Bitcoin does have actual use as a medium of exchange. Mm-hmm. And we're doing it in healthcare. Like, this is the biggest industry on the planet. You know, that's my vision, you know. And so maybe I'm too optimistic or I'm idealistic, but I was like, man, I think somebody's got to go out there and say, we've got to at least start this. And then we're going to have somebody full time on CrowdHealth who are going to all these doctors and trying to orange pill them to say, hey, you can accept Bitcoin. It's really easy. And what is the benefit of that? One is, I hope we can convince you the fiat sucks. Right. But two is, you're going to Veronica, I'm assuming partly because, you know, she's a Bitcoin minded, you know, person, a sovereignty focused person. And we can get people to you, doctor, if you'll accept Bitcoin.
Yeah.
If we had a Bitcoin doctor in Austin, which Veronica's one, like, I guarantee you, we can get more people there. Like, because I want to go to a Bitcoin doctor. Because they're not fiat, right? They're not like pharma first, take a med, be done, right? They're actually being like thoughtful and seek truth as opposed to just doing whatever the medical industrial complex wants you. So that's the big vision. I mean, we'll see if it works. It's startup stuff, right? But that's the big vision for what we want to do here.
No, I think it's totally achievable. I mean, and going back to Veronica, like I was, my wife interacts with the Ultra Personal Healthcare app. So when she sent me the, message where they're like, we're accepting Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And they were like using Zaprite. I was like, oh my God, this is incredible. And then you read the blog post that she put out, which was like, hey, not only do we believe in your sovereignty when it comes to healthcare, we believe in your sovereignty when it comes to money too. And that's why we're going to accept Bitcoin. If you want to pay us in that, and that's what we, this is paid 2 months of invoices. I think she launched like 2 months ago. So we paid two invoices over Zaprite. And it's just like, yeah, it's awesome. And as a Bitcoiner, like if I didn't want to reach into my stack, I can easily buy and send or use something like Strike to just pull from my US dollar bank account and send Bitcoin directly to her address, whether it's over Lightning or on chain. And I think that's what it's going to take, is just one man at a time, one woman at a time. In the case of Veronica, stepping up and saying, I'll accept it. And then I'm more than happy to pay her, prefer to pay her in Bitcoin.
Right.
Because I know she's really helping my family. And if she wants to accept Bitcoin and enable that, like, more than happy to pay in Bitcoin.
I think it's important. Like, I'm not asking you to pull from your stack. Like, I'm asking you to say, hey, one line item in my budget was being paid in fiat. Mm-hmm. I'm now going to convert that to being paid in Bitcoin. And if, you know, more people do that, I think we can get to a critical mass of most doctors, most hospitals, you know, being willing to accept Bitcoin. I mean, I think that's been an incredible step for Bitcoin. And nobody can say out there, none of the pundits can say, if we were able to do that, oh, you can't use Bitcoin anywhere. Like, it's, you know, that's just will be BS if we can actually accomplish that.
Yeah. And you see, I know last week there was a dentist in Denver.
Yeah.
Is using Zap right now to accept Bitcoin. So it's definitely happening. There are those doctors out there. I know them. Obviously, Veronica is one of them, but there's many others that I've talked to that are Bitcoiners. That's actually, I mean, it makes sense. Doctors are very smart people. You think they'd come to understand Bitcoin quicker.
The thing
than
that was so interesting in that, I don't know if you really looked at that tweet. That doctor did that tweet, and I think he had, like, at the time he did the tweet, like 120 followers or something like that. That tweet, I think, got like 150,000 people to see it. Mm-hmm. Like, you're now accepting Bitcoin, and you got 150,000 people now see that this dentist in Denver is accepting Bitcoin. I guarantee it would be an awesome case study to go back to him and say, did you get any Bitcoiners? Like, I bet you, like, his business is going to go really, really well because he accepts Bitcoin. Like, and that's the only way I think we have to do this. Like, I think going to doctors and be like, you should accept Bitcoin just because it's a cool thing to do. Like, I don't think that works. I think we have to go to them and say, if you accept Bitcoin, they will come.
Yes.
You know, and so it's like, if we get Bitcoiners to say, I'm going to go to Bitcoin doctors if there is one, then, man, again, you create demand for a good, and that's beautiful capitalism. Like, demand for a good, you want to go to that doctor or that dentist or whoever. That's how I think we win.
Agreed. And I know myself, I'm an archetype of many other Bitcoiners out there. Like, I want to go support doctors that accept Bitcoin. And likely, if they're in Bitcoin this early, it's probably philosophically aligned with the problems that enter one's life when they deal with centralized institutions. Obviously, healthcare is majorly centralized. If they're accepting Bitcoin, they probably understand the importance of decentralization and when it comes to healthcare. And like we said, in the two episodes we recorded, maybe three even, like last year, the year before, like, it's got to be grassroots. It's got to be one at a time. Like, you got to go support the people. Like, and like you said, like, Bitcoiners want this to happen, and obviously hodling is a use case, but I do agree, it's a pre-recording, like, we need to break out of that. And I think spend and replace, or just simply use something like Strike to convert what was already a monthly line item they were paying in fiat anyway, convert it to Bitcoin.
Totally.
Just grow and empower the people that are treating you.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, dentists are one, doctors are another. Like, one of the problems with our system is we are incentivized to maximize revenue regardless of how it impacts the patient, right? Dentist, for some reason, when we started talking about dentists, it came to my mind, like, the last time I was at a dentist, you know, at the end, they're like, try to upsell you on everything. Like, do you want fluoride? And do you want da-da-da? And it looks like your teeth are a little out of line. Do you want a $5,000 Invisalign? You know, like, maybe I'm naive, but I just don't think Bitcoin doctors will do that. Like, I just don't think they're going to, like, fiat you to death. Like, maybe, again, maybe I'm naive, and maybe the doctors I've met thus far who are Bitcoin doctors, like, they're like, no, I want to provide you a service. It's value for value. Like, I want to provide you a service that creates value. I want you to pay me, and I don't need to make all my money on all of the upcharges, because I'm providing you a great service, and you're providing me money, you know, in the form of Bitcoin to provide me with a living that I need to you know, there's that relationship there without an insurance company in the middle.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't need to upcharge you all these 22 different things that you don't really need, you know? So I just think you get better. It's a lower price. It's better care. And, like, you know, that to me is a winner.
I can't stress enough that it is better care, which is, again, the most refreshing thing. Like, I never thought that finding a good doctor would be the highlight of our move to Texas for my wife.
But that's awesome.
It's really helped her, like, changed her perspective on healthcare more generally, like, understanding that this DPC model exists in the first place. She's like, why haven't we been doing this our whole lives? And so then on the doctor side, like, so are all the Bitcoiner doctors coming to you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're building a database. So we're building this, you know, nationwide database of docs who said they either do or will accept Bitcoin. So the fun thing is, we had a lot of doctors say, look, if you can send me patients, I will accept Bitcoin. And it's like, you know, Dr. BTC or something is their, you know, screen name. So I know it's not like just because it's like, no, like I will accept Bitcoin if you send doctors to, or if you send patients my way. So I think you're going to see Bitcoin doctors who want to accept Bitcoin, which I think is awesome. But I think, you know, if we're trying to, you know, be missionaries here in some way, like, what if doctors who weren't Bitcoin doctors are orange pilled because they see the demand driver of Bitcoin? They're introduced to Bitcoin. They understand the fundamentals of Bitcoin and how it's so much better than fiat. Like, I think this is a way to orange pill the healthcare space too. So there's so many just kind of good components of this that it feels right. It's fun to be able to kind of be the first to, you know, on the back end, help people pay in Bitcoin. So it's fun. It's been a bit of a fun journey.
Have there been any skeptical doctors? Like, what is this? What is Cloud Health number one? And what is Bitcoin number two? That have been like, oh.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the big challenge with this, right, is like, Cloud Health is so different than health insurance already. And people are kind of like, and then I'm like, oh yeah, we're doing Bitcoin too, and they're like, okay, hold on a second. You know, our brains can only process so much, and just as a defense mechanism, anything we can't easily understand, we just say this is dumb, right? And so you see a lot of people doing that, and so we've had to be very careful of not trying to double pill people at the same time. It's like, no, we want to get you on Crowd Health first so you understand it, and then let's see if I can transition you to the Bitcoin crowd. So we actually had to, you know, bifurcate our Twitter handle. One is like CrowdHealth BTC, which is going to be all of our Bitcoin stuff. And one's just generally CrowdHealth, because I'm trying to not double whammy people, you know, into this. You know, our number one kind of barrier to growing is people thinking that this is such a crazy model, right? But that's the number one concern for most totally disruptive, you know, categories. And so I just don't want to double.
You know, people don't believe me when I explain CrowdHealth. They're like, what's the catch, Andy?
The catch is we're getting 50% better rates than health plans. I mean, that's crazy for bills greater than $1,000. And so all the big bills, we're getting incredible rates for our members. And so even if we're just like 50% better, that's it right there. And then we have a self-selected group of people like me and you who are, you know, in our 30s and our 40s, we're healthy. We take care of ourselves. What we put in our body is really important to us. We work out, you know, we take care and love our families well. Like, those people just have lower medical costs, right? And so it's a self-selected group of people to come together to do that. So and that's a multiplicative effect, right, on costs. So that's the reason. It's very easy math, actually.
Yeah. No, it's funny enough. When you mentioned like people, you don't want to double whammy people, like even like explaining the model to the doctors when we go to the doctors and they're like, oh, what's your health insurance? Like, yeah, we don't have health insurance. You do like direct pay via this crowd health, crowdfunding model. And
they're like, what?
They start whispering because direct pay is usually looked down upon. And one time they asked my wife, like, what's the income of your household? And she like responded and they're like, oh, like, why are you doing this? Why don't you have health insurance? It's funny.
Everybody's been psyoped to think that like health insurance is the only way.
Yeah, but it's hilarious at the front desk when you say direct pay, like they start whispering and like,
what?
They quietly ask for your debit card and like, how are you going to pay?
It's strange. And we hope to, I mean, I have a t-shirt right now that says, you know, just like uninsured across the front, you know, it's like, I want to own it. Like, It's the same thing as saying like fiat, like, you know, I'm out of fiat or Bitcoin. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we are out of that insurance, you know, racket, and we are into something which is much more delightful.
Well, that's funny because it is. I mean, obviously we've talked about this over the last year plus, but like, it is such a racket. It is funny that people look at you while they're involved in the racket and they're like, oh, what are you doing? You're crazy.
Yeah. It's the same look though that we get as Bitcoiners.
Yeah.
For people who don't understand Bitcoin, oh, one of you Bitcoin people, you must be strange, right? Which is kind of like, oh, wait, you don't have insurance? That's strange. But it's just you're psyoped by the powers that be to think that this is the only way. And we know as Bitcoiners, like, this is not the only way. There is a way better way, you know? And so I think so. That's why Bitcoiners right now, you know, half of our members or something like that are Bitcoiners, like, are so like interested in this. Because they're like, oh yeah, I know. I like being looked upon as being a little bit different. Yeah.
I liked opting out.
I like opting out. Yeah, exactly.
It's opt out of the rackets in every aspect of your life, whether it's money, healthcare, food. Yeah. You can opt out. You just gotta go shake your doctor's hand, shake your rancher's hand.
Shake your doctor's hand. There it is.
The Bitcoin.
I would say though that we've gotten lots of feedback where doctors have treated them differently. I don't know if I said this one with you before, but I had a cardiologist who I had to go get scans for my heart, and everything's great. But he's like, hey, you know, typically I would ask you to come back into the office so that we can go over these scans. But since you don't have insurance and you're direct pay, can I just call you? I'm like, hell yeah, you can call me. Like, and he called me and he's like, everything looks great. And I'm like, wait a second, you would have charged me $200 to come into your office for you to say everything looks great, right? Yeah. Like, people are being
not only cared that, for, but like potentially like an hour plus of commute.
It's the worst thing ever, sitting in a waiting room at a doctor's office.
Yeah.
No way in hell I want to do that.
Just call me.
Yeah, call me.
Yeah.
And the only reason he said it is because he knew I didn't have health insurance.
Would he have been, and he'd be able to charge?
Yeah, he'd be able to charge for that follow-up.
He doesn't have to charge for the phone.
No. He's just like, I'm just going to call you and we're going to be done with it. I'm like, great.
More of this.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. What do you think the critical tipping point is to shake people out of the psyop of health insurance? And
you know, I unfortunately, I don't know if there's a, are you taking a societal tipping point or an individual tipping point? Because I think for an individual, a couple things of what we're seeing is happening. One is the insurance plans continue to treat their people like crap, and people finally get to a place where like, I'm not taking this crap anymore. Like, I hate my insurance company being my enemy. It just doesn't make any sense. Second is the prices are going up significantly. And so at some point it makes so much like pain, you know, it's like the Stockholm syndrome. Like, I don't understand why people continue to go through this pain and like, oh, my insurance company's, you know, helps me out. Like, this is crazy. I think eventually it's so much pain that they have to, you know, rattle their cages. And then I think societally, I mean, I think we need to get to 30 to 50,000 people. I don't think it's big. I mean, 30 to 50,000 people in a country of 350 million is not a lot. But I think we can get 30 to 50,000. I think there's an effect here where people start talking about it and they're like, this is like legitimate. You know, like a legitimate alternative, at least in the minds of like that early majority. Like, you've got to cross the chasm to that early majority.
Let's do it this open enrollment season, freaks.
I mean, it'd be great. I mean, 50 might be a lot. We'd be operationally strapped. But, you know, I mean, I think we'll probably get to 6,000 by the end of the month. We'll probably be at 10 or something like that. I'm hoping somewhere around 10, you know, by the beginning of next year, first quarter of next year.
Yeah.
Which, so we're, that's a good start, right? I mean, I think I asked somebody, I think it was Eric Podwoski. Do you know him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good dude.
Bitcoin telecom.
Yeah. Asked him, like, how many Bitcoiners out there are there that actually are so down the rabbit hole that are willing to, like, buy stuff with Bitcoin, right? Like, where are the metrics on that? I don't know, you know? I know El Salvador, lots. Yes. But here in the United States, like, how many of us are there that would actually, like, go and do it? Because it's not pressing the easy button.
I think there's more than any information we'll disclose publicly just because of the tax situation of spending Bitcoin. I do think a lot of people spend Bitcoin. They just don't want to admit it because...
Yeah, that's her.
Yeah.
That's why you look at Strike. I mean, how many accounts does Strike have? Or, I don't know, what are the other kind of, like, widely used, you know, Bitcoin platforms, and what kind of membership do they have? And then you could probably start figuring out, like, what is the current Bitcoin market? And then the next question is, like, how do you double, triple, quadruple that, right? As we go into a bull market, I think that helps for sure.
Yeah. That's the other thing too, thinking about, like, getting more people on to the crowd health model and thinking about how they interact with traditional healthcare and health insurance. It's usually their employer that's providing them the options that they're opting into. So how much progress have you guys made of getting crowd health as an option for employers?
Oh, for employers. Oh, man. Talk about regulatory madness.
Really?
Yeah. Anytime we can't have a direct relationship with the employer.
Okay.
Because then you're under what's called ERISA rules. I don't even know what ERISA stands for, but it's a huge bureaucracy within the Department of Labor that is, you know, will hammer you if you touch anything close to ERISA rules. There's another, I mean, in the Biden administration has put, you know, serious $1 million, you know, plus fines for anybody who is not totally complying. We're not an ERISA, we're not an insurance company, so we can't be in ERISA. However, we have been able to go to employers and say, listen, instead of paying for your members' insurance, why don't you just give them cash to go and get their own healthcare?
It's like school choice, but for health.
Yeah.
Health insurance.
Exactly. Exactly. And for a decent chunk of Bitcoin companies, we've gone to them and they've been like, okay, well, yeah, we'll do that. You know, and especially I think now as we're going to be able to actually offer a Lightning offering where it's like truly you are transacting in Bitcoin. I think next year will even be better for us because we were one step away from Bitcoin before, saving in Bitcoin and things. But it's now it's like, no, you're actually transacting your healthcare expenses in Bitcoin, in Lightning, right? And so I think we're gonna have a much better success, you know, next year. Yeah. So if you're running a small Bitcoin company and trying to figure out what to do with, your members' healthcare, please call us. We'd love to work with you.
And as an employer, like if I were to be an employee, I would see this as an added benefit.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to deal. I remember sitting in like boardrooms at this time of the year when I was working at like larger companies and you'd sit down, you'd waste like half a day on going over like the healthcare options that you could opt into. And I never came out of those boardroom meetings with clarity. Like I'm just,
Still like, what the hell is this? Which one do I pick? What, I mean, you have to have a crystal ball to figure out like which one is going to be economically better for you.
Yeah.
Whereas for us, it's like, look, you know, ear or a rocking ear, $500. You know, ER visit, $500. Like, it's just anything that is big, it's like you pay the first $500 and we'll submit the rest to the community. It's super easy.
Yeah. And what's the average deductible for a plan these days?
Oh, man. Well, on healthcare.gov for a family of four, it was my only options were like between $12,000 and $16,000.
That's insane. So that's what you pay before.
First.
Anybody comes in and covers any extra.
And I think it was, I don't quote me on this, but I think it was 19 or 20 or something like that max out of pocket. So typically the way it works is like you have this deductible, which is you not only pay premiums every month. So for my family, it was $1,400 a month, you know, so that's what, $16,000 or something like that, in premiums. And then it was another $14,000 for my deductible. So that's $30,000 before the insurance plan pays a dollar. And then everything above that, I paid 20% of, up to me paying a total out of pocket for that deductible, $20,000. Right? I mean, it's like mind boggling. Like anybody would even consider it.
Yeah, it's not really covering. I mean, anchoring to my family's health expenses, like we come nowhere near that.
No.
In a year. And so like even if we had the health insurance that we're paying for, like it's not going to help $1 to our health healthcare cost over the last year.
And this is where I think that like somewhere close, nutrition, wellness, exercise, things like that has got to be taken, has to be accounted for when somebody goes and gets their healthcare dollars. Because somebody, you know, sitting on the couch eating chocolate fudge, whatever, right, has got to be treated differently than somebody who's working out, you know, 4 or 5 times a week. Like it's just it can't continue to be where people who are working out and taking care of themselves and figuring out what's going on with their body and like truly treating their body as temples, right, can't continue to pay for people who aren't, you know, like 77% or something like that of Americans are overweight.
Yes. Insane.
It's like 37% are obese. I mean, it's insanity. And that's where I think that the food component, which I kind of talked about as my three pillars of things I'd like to challenge, is next. So there's got to be something there, you know? So we're working through that.
What do you think we need to attack on the food side, most importantly?
Well, I mean, I think it's most importantly is, I mean, an education and understanding of how, what goes into your body and how it impacts, like, your body makeup, right? I mean, at a very fundamental level. But what I'd like to take some labs and some metrics around that, right? So like, let's get everybody a set of labs and some key metrics that they understand so that everybody understands what their metabolic, where their metabolic health is, right? So there's 5 components of it. What are your metabolic health components? And then how does food impacts all of them? Right. How can we change what we eat to impact these 5 metabolic, you know, components? And then, you know, basically, you know, bonus you based on being able to get them down. Like, or you pay less based upon you being able to get into these 5 metabolic, you know, thresholds.
Green zones.
Yeah. Because in essence, what I want is like, and I've said this before, it kind of sounds cheesy, but I want everybody to be able to be, you know, 80 years old and run around the backyard with their grandkids.
That's what I want.
You know, and it's like live hard, die fast.
Yeah.
Like that's what we all want. And right now we are living hard on the you know, carbohydrates and dying slow. Slow death sucks. Like, let me die fast.
Yeah. When you say that, you mean like at the end of life.
At the end of life, like you go to sleep, you don't wake up.
Yeah.
It's not like you're just ravaged by chronic disease for, you know, a decade or 2 decades before you die. Like that's a terrible end of life. Yeah. Like finish strong.
Yeah. And it's something I've become more acutely aware of. Obviously, and we were talking before we hit record too, like my oldest is reaching the age where he like can have conversations, he's running around, and I want to continue that. Like I'm in good shape. And one thing we did over the last year is we joined Lifetime Fitness.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great for like families, like the kids have a play area. They can go, my wife and I can go work out. And that's something that we've made like a family routine 2 or 3 times a week. I'll go 4 times a week, but 2 or 3 times out of that 4 times, the kids are in tow. We're going together. And that's one small thing too. It's like at that small age, that impressionable age, you're saying, oh, dad's going to work out.
Yeah.
Stay in shape. I get to play.
I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, my vision is like, we're called crowd health, but in essence, what we're doing is we're putting together little crowds of people who share some characteristics that in essence change their behaviors, because I don't want to screw somebody in my own tribe, right? So Marty and I, you and I are both in the Bitcoin crowd. Like If I try to extract value out of that community, I'm screwing Marty and Parker and Will and all these people who, you know, like are part of my people, right? Like I'm going to act different in the way that I go and consume healthcare. And so I think it's important for us to put together these little communities, because it's the way, this is the way we've done it for hundreds of, if not thousands of years, right? Like, we're in little tribes. We take care of each other. We don't want to screw each other, because it ultimately will come back and impact us, right? But there's an affinity for each other too. And so one of the things that I'm thinking about is, like, we've got our kind of founders crowd. We have our Bitcoin crowd, you know, and that's another crowd. You know, can we have like a metabolically healthy crowd or something? Like, you know, it's like, hey, if you're metabolically healthy, you can be in this crowd. And guess what? The cost will be lower because everybody's metabolically healthy. And then everybody might be like, huh, maybe I actually need to work on my metabolic health so I can be in this crowd. Right. Mm-hmm. And so there's, you know, I think there's probably a trainer's crowd and a real estate agent's crowd and a, I don't know, a Keller Williams crowd, like, you know, little 10 little crowds, each with 20,000 people in them, and, you know, big enough to be able to be viable, but small enough to be like, I know that there's other people that I know in my crowd, so I'm going to change my behavior. I mean, we had a guy with colon cancer who came back to us. I may have mentioned this in your last one, but like, he's like, I don't want to screw, I have colon cancer. Like, this is a problem. Like, help me. But I don't want to screw the community. Like, can you please find me doctors that will treat me at a reasonable cost? And I'm like, holy crap. Like, this guy is in totally a position where he could be the victim. And he is a victim of, like, just a raw end of the deal. He's in his mid-30s. You know, and he's like, he took the approach of being, I don't want to screw the other people in my community. And I'm like, dang, that's powerful.
Yeah.
Like, that is a change in behavior. Where if you were with health insurance, you're like, screw this, like, give me everything. You know, like, I don't give a shit who I go to.
I mean, the concept's thrown out a lot in Bitcoin circles, and sometimes it's beating a dead horse and said ad nauseum, but it's very true. Like, incentive alignment, incentive structure is important. The incentive structure in health, in typical health insurance, just purely doesn't exist. It's just spend more, we'll pay for whatever, we'll print money to pay for it.
Totally.
Be as unhealthy as you want. Where this, you align incentives between community members and it drives outcomes like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a pretty special thing to watch. So, and the other thing, I was a little, I mean, without totally understanding the Bitcoin community, because I'm fairly new, I'm 3 years in, and you hear about the Bitcoin community being like this self-sovereign group, you know, which seems a little bit from the outside looking in, not totally understanding. It's like, oh, it's all about me. But what I've learned about this is, it's like, no, I'm responsible for myself and taking care of myself. And therefore, I'm actually a way better member of the community.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it's actually stronger communities, because I'm like, I know Marty's like taking care of his business and I want to be in community with that guy. Right. And so it actually makes stronger relationships and stronger communities, because people aren't in the community like, oh, that dude's a slacker. Like, this just doesn't exist, you know, within, I mean, it's all spectrum, but like, you know, it doesn't, just a much lower probability of that in the Bitcoin community than others. Cause you're almost like, if you're the slacker, you're like, okay, you're not taking care of your business. So it's an incredible community that I've seen, which is really neat.
Yeah. No, that's the funny thing about the mischaracterization of like, oh, they're just selfish, they just want to get rich quick. And it's like, no, I want to preserve my wealth and uplift my individual situation in this world, which will then allow me to go out and help everybody else. And you can't help everybody else unless you help yourself first, whether that's taking care of your body, taking care of how you save your money, watching the food you eat.
Yeah.
You can't go out and lecture people if you're not doing it yourself.
Yeah. It's hard to be a victim within that kind of community, like, or play the victim, at least. It's like, you have a lot of people being like, all right, dude, like, yeah, you, something's going on. Like, get your shit together. Like, let's go. Like,
extreme ownership. Yeah.
Something bad happened to you. Like, you get cancer. Like, it's yours. You own it. But guess what? We're going to be a community and we'll help you out. Like, that's just like, you just got the raw end of the stick, man. Like, that sucks.
Yeah.
And so
do you think doctors are waking up to this? Like, the power of the community?
I think so. Man, I've had so many people. And this is a hard metric, right? Like, you have such a huge following, like, you get probably hundreds of new followers or whatever a day. Like, so doesn't really impact you. But like, for us, we have, I don't know, 3,000 people who follow us on Twitter. And so, you know, if we get 20 people who, you know, follow us today, I can still kind of look through them and see who they are. I'm seeing more MDs in the last probably 30 days than I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And I think it's probably because open enrollment, you know, people are interested, you know, but we are making a push out there into the medical community. And I got, we got a lot of, you know, docs who are following us. And I don't know, maybe they're following us to see what we're about and see, you know, if we're trying to screw up their business or their administrators in hospitals who are pissed off. It doesn't seem like it. It feels like it's salt of the earth docs who are just interested, you know, interested in an alternative because they've been so just ravaged by health insurance.
Well, it's funny you mention that because we just recorded with Mike Benz, who's the executive director at the Foundation for Online Freedom, for Freedom Online. And we were talking about the censorship industrial complex and really dug deep into the intelligence apparatus, federal government apparatus that sort of embedded itself in private institutions to push censorship on the world. And one thing he said that really made me optimistic is I was like, what is the end goal? Like, where do we go from here? And he basically said, like, what I think we're seeing is that there's going to be like a lot of defections of people who are pushing the censorship industrial complex because the severity of the immorality of what they're doing weighs on them. They begin to defect. You can easily see that happening in the healthcare industry as well. Where people, the enormity of just the lack of quality service and the high cost and the corruption that comes with the incumbent health insurance and healthcare system begins to weigh on individuals, and all these systems are made up of individuals, and they just begin to defect.
I think we're seeing defections on the doctor side. You're seeing it with direct primary care. Like, that was one wave. We're probably going to see some more waves. We're seeing some things on the direct primary care being kind of imitated in some of the specialty care too. So we're seeing pediatrics. And so I think we'll start seeing more and more of those defections away from the insurance system. And so anybody who starts having insurance is going to have a much harder time finding docs because docs are defecting to a private pay type of scenario. So a consumerization of healthcare, I think that's a great thing. I think you're going to have struggle with health insurance. Right now I saw the wait for a neurology visit in the United States is now like 6 months.
What?
Gastro is like 3 months. What was the other one that was crazy? That was like February or March was the first opening. ENT, ear, nose, and throat was like February or March was the earliest you could get one. And so, I think the shortage of docs, defection of docs, all these things are going to, I think, be the fuel, you know, for additional consumerization. Yeah. And so, and defection of individuals too.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of people. We think it's about 25% of our people actually are ditching, opting out of their health plans, employer-based health plans, and saying, screw this, I don't want health insurance anymore. And so, and then in coming over to Crowd Health, which is cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's not Brexit. We're calling it health plan exit, right? I don't know. It's not resounding.
We'll work on that one.
We're working on it. So anyway, We're having a significant amount of people that are abandoning their health plans, which is awesome. I love it.
And it feels like similar to like the beef initiative. It feels like one of the biggest hurdles to get over is because I was in Missouri at the Bitcoin Expedition a few weeks ago, and I led a panel talk with a rancher from Indiana, and he joined the beef initiative after hearing Slim. I think actually hearing the beef initiative referenced by Adam Carey on Joe Rogan, and he just went onto the website, signed up, and he said his numbers exploded just from adding his name to the site. Never met Slim.
It's awesome.
Just like heard it on Joe Rogan's podcast, put it. I think there's like a similar thing that could happen here in healthcare. It's just like the knowledge of doctors or patients understanding that this model exists just hasn't permeated to what it needs to be.
Exactly.
It's just like, how do you create a network, whether it's via Crowd Health or beyond Crowd Health, that enables people to know that this option exists in the first place.
Yeah. We need, I mean, everybody's looking for that Joe Rogan moment, right? Like one mention on Joe Rogan.
He's right down the street.
I know he's here in Austin. One mention on Joe Rogan can change your business. You know, so that moment's going to come as you just got to like continue to build and build and build. And we're adding, you know, thousands of people over the next few months. We're going to get there. Like there's going to be a point where people are not looking at this as like, and the same thing's happening with Bitcoin. I think as not like this weird alt kind of solution, but is actually the obvious solution.
Yeah. I'm pulling out my phone because I want to like back up what we're saying with some actual data here, which is somebody reached out to me over the weekend without disclosing exact names, say why they were looking for a crowd health referral. Yes, they're getting charged $250 per month by Anthem next year. Like, their costs are going up, and they're looking to get on a crowd health. So
probably a pretty good deductible too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we would make tons of sense for that person. Is that a single person?
A man with a family.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think we would make tons of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's just like their monthly bill, which goes on top of their deductible.
On top of their deductible. Deductible is probably 5 to 8 or something like that.
Yeah. So that's like,
yeah. I mean, it's
$3,000
the economic. The economic makes tons of sense.
Yeah.
It's whether or not you can get over the hurdle of like, okay, this is, I've been so, again, psyop to thinking insurance was the only way I could do this. Like, am I willing to take that plunge? You know, and more people like you and Safe and Jimmy and, you know, all these people who are members of Crowd Health being like, hey, this is working for me. Yeah. You know, like, I think we can get that Bitcoin community, you know, a rallying around us. You know, it would be awesome. Yeah.
I mean, I've seen it. It works.
It works. It works. I've used it. You've used it. Many people, you know, the other thing that's crazy too is the people who are members of Crowd Health, like, because I see on the back end who are actually members, like, blow me away. Like, the people who are like standing up to the tyranny of, you know, government intervention, like a lot of those folks that you see on Twitter that have hundreds of thousands, even millions of followers are members of Crowd Health. I can't say who they are because that would be, you know, anonymity. But like, I'm like, oh my God. Like, I called my inside sales guy. I was like, is this who I think it is? He's like, yeah, dude, that's who you think it is. I'm like, that's awesome. You know, and I'm like, I'm crowdfunding bills because I still see them all. And I'm like, oh, you know, Marty, you know, crowdfunded this person's bill today. So you could have your bill funded by Marty and Safe and, you know, Bree Love and Natalie and like all these people who are members, Jimmy and all these people who are members of Crowd Health. Like, y'all are actually helping each other. Like, this is not just a saying, like, the money goes directly from you to them. Yeah. Right. And it's a really cool thing that we're actually helping our members directly.
Yeah. It's, yeah, it works both ways.
Yeah,
like
totally.
I've had some of my family healthcare bills paid, and I've helped others pay them as well.
Yeah, there's a special thing to know that like your money is going directly to somebody else.
Yeah,
like, you know, on a monthly basis, hey, I'm helping a pregnancy, or I'm helping, you know, a guy with colon cancer or whatever,
or a kid with a rock in their ear.
I think we described that one as an ear, nose, and throat procedure or something like
that.
It was.
Yeah. It happened at the
end. I think that was the way that it was described. I don't know if we said rock and ear, although we probably should have. That would have been funny. But yeah, it's really cool to know that your money is not going to some big organization.
Yeah.
Again, as we take $50 a month. That's the only revenue we get. You know, it's like a subscription fee. Because we didn't want any of those perverse incentives that, you know, health insurance plans pay, because we would ultimately, even though I feel like I've got a good heart, like, you know, the love of money is the root of all evil. Like, I think if there are incentives to see something, to make more money, you inevitably will take that incentive. Like, yeah, it's hard not to.
Yeah.
So we wanted to build everything. It's like, the incentive is not to make more money here. I mean, it's like, because we're fixed at $50 a month, right? So that's the way that we did it. Health insurance plans, like, they actually are incentivized for you to be sick.
Oh, yeah.
Like, people don't understand that. You know, it's like, they make more money when you're sick. Like, that is crazy to me that people will still buy into that system. So, you know, and so the incentives do motivate behavior. We as Bitcoiners understand that.
And even so, like, if CrowdHealth is successful and you can get a good network effect, it could be very good business.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. We'll be profitable in March of next year, which is pretty good.
Congrats.
For, you know, being around for 2.5 years, yeah, getting profitable. And we still have lots of money in the bank. So, you know, we're in really good shape, really good shape. In fact, yeah.
Well, that's Parker talks about it a lot too. That's how you know it's not bullshit. We talk about it in the context of like sustainable energy. Like, nothing is sustainable unless it's profitable.
Right.
If you're reaching profitability within 3 years, like, it is a sustainable business
right.
model.
Yeah. Right. Well, we'll be profitable at somewhere between 7,000 and 8,000 customers. So, you know, if we hit our 10,000 by the beginning of the year, we'll be profitable. But 7,000 to 8,000 is where we'll hit profitability.
Yeah.
So, you know, and so, you know, with the funding environment right now and just macro funding environment sucks. I mean, it's just totally evaporated.
Yeah.
You know, we've been very safe in terms of how we spend our money. And so, you know, we'll be profitable. Yeah, probably end of first quarter, beginning of second quarter, maybe, but somewhere in there. So it'll be feel good to not, you know, draw on cash every month.
Yeah, that's important. And it's hard. That's another thing, like a Bitcoin standard drive. So when we see it at 1031, like when your opportunity cost is like not being able to accumulate Bitcoin or revenue, like you're going to focus on getting profitable as quickly as possible.
Yeah. And that's what we've had to do. That's all startups are right now. They got to figure out how to get profitability.
Yeah, interest rates go to 5.5%. It really pauses the train of easy money that has created this mirage over the last two decades.
Yeah, yeah. So
let's get disclaimer, CrowdHouse is a sponsor of the pod, but it is because I only like to advertise companies that I actually use. CrowdHouse works. It's a better model. It's a better experience. Like if you're out there during this open enrollment season, you're sitting in that boardroom, they're throwing all these options at you. They're very expensive, not very straightforward or clear. I know it could seem like a big jump, but I did it with me, my whole family, and it's worked great for us. And it's a lot of peace of mind. You meet good doctors. You have conversations with CrowdHouse to help you figure out, all right, how do I navigate this discussion for this bill and stuff like that? It's just like you actually understand what you're buying in the healthcare system now, which before with typical health insurance, you really don't.
Yeah.
You're just like given a bill, they handle it, and you don't understand anything that's going on.
The I think the cool stat, and I told you this, I think it was 6 months ago where I mentioned this to you. And at that point, I'm going to get the numbers a little bit wrong, but it's going to be close. It's going to be in the ballpark. At that point, I had been on your podcast twice in like a year and a half or something. So we have had a relationship for almost 2 years. And we had signed up using your code, TFTC. I think we had signed up like 500 people at that time, 400 or 500 people, something in that range. And it was like two had left. Like two out of 500.
Good retention rate.
Right. Oh, and that was over a year and a half or 2 years, something in that range. I don't remember exactly what the stat was, but like you lost two over that period of time with 500. Like, and I think those two people left because their, you know, their employer paid all of their health insurance or something like that. And so they're like, I just can't do it. I'm like, I can't argue with you. Like, I still think health insurance sucks and you're making a bad decision, but like, it's hard to make, you know, the economic thing. That's pretty darn good.
Yeah.
Pretty darn good. So I guess what's that saying is like, people who've come have enjoyed it, and they feel like they are part of a something bigger, you know? And so that's great. And go to look at our Trustpilot reviews. Like, these are all verified by Trustpilot. We have like 122 reviews and three suck. So out of the 122, you know, I can go into each one of those three, and it's like how we didn't really screw that up. It's more like we had a pain in the butt, you know, member. But three out of 122 is not bad.
It's less than 3%.
Less than 3%.
That's an A plus.
That's an A plus. I'll take a 97 on a test any day. And a lot of times you go to those reviews and if you see them like all, you know, like fives, you're like, something's going on here. You know, we have like two ones and a two or something like that. It's like, okay, well, we're not perfect. Yeah. So come and join us, man. If you guys are out there, we'd love for you to join us.
And I mean, again, this is don't trust, verify. Andy's in here every day grinding on calls. I've seen it. It's not somebody. That's the thing again with this healthcare model. They're like, what's going on? Like, it's just a scam. They're just taking your money, not doing anything. Andy's in here every day working a full day, putting in the work, talking to people. You started your own podcast. It's last time you were on. How's that going, by the way?
It's fun. Yeah, it's fun. We've had some interesting characters on.
We had Dr. Malone on recently.
We had Dr. Malone. It's gonna be released next Monday.
Okay.
And we had a really good chat. I mean, I don't know if I mentioned this to you. Like, we stayed out of like the vaccine thing. Like, I feel like everybody's talked to him about the vaccines.
Yeah.
Like the thing we talked about, which I thought was interesting, was, you know, he had a decision point where he knew something that if he were to go public with it, it was going to change his life and probably not for the better. Like, he was going to take some heat. you know, or do you stay on the path in which you can kind of just keep making great money? He had a great consulting business, like, you know, like stay on that comfortable path. So when you get to that fork, like, how do you make the decision? You know, so we talked a lot about that moment in time where he had to make a decision, you know, and I think a lot of us, especially in the Bitcoin community, like, we get to those forks and we're like, man, I can press the easy button here, or I can take the harder road. It's like, okay, what do we want our lives to look like?
Yeah.
The harder road life or the easy road life?
It's funny you say that, because we're going to have a lot of those decision trees coming in our future in Bitcoin. And I worry that a lot of people are going to hit the easy button. Not going to be easy. Yeah. Hit the hard button. It's going to be worth it, because particularly as it pertains to Bitcoin, when it comes to overarching regulation and KYC AML compliance, it's going to be a lot of people that hit the easy button, but that could really lead us down a terrible path.
Yeah.
Hit the hard button. It's going to be worth it in the long run.
It's this high time preference versus low time preference, like, view of the world. Right. Yeah. And I think this kind of goes back to the doctor conversation that we had too. Like, I think Bitcoins are low time preference people. Generally, Bitcoin doctors will take the low time preference, which I think we want to. And a high time preference doctor is, take meds now, it'll get rid of your symptoms, but I'm not going to deal with the underlying issue. Mm-hmm. The low time preference doctor will say, no, we need to figure out the issue. And you may have symptoms for a little bit longer, but we're not going to get rid of those symptoms, because that's actually the body, like, doing what it needs to do to take care of itself. Right. Like, and so I think the same thing applies with some of these decisions. Like, we have a high time preference society, and we have to hit the hard button over and over and over and over again to be able to, I think, survive and to thrive over a long period of time by hitting the hard button. Like, we got to hit the hard button, you know? And so parenting, a lot of times we have to hit the hard button, right? Bitcoin, our monetary policy, we got to hit the hard button. Like, it's going to be painful for a period of time, but we got to hit the hard button, you know? And so I love Bitcoiners, because you got to hit the hard button. You can go to your employer tomorrow and sign the little sheet of paper and get a little insurance card and go to the doctor and lay down an insurance card and then not have to worry about it until the explanation of benefits shows up. That's the easy button. Like, pick the hard button and do something a little bit different. Learn a little bit of something about the healthcare system works. Learn why insurance sucks and it's really, incentives are totally perverse. Like, that's the hard button, you know? And so it's like, we should start a podcast, the hard button. Like, what are all the things in life in which, if we pass the hard button, we would be thrive, you know, way easier. Am I going to go have my kids, you know, Skittles from Halloween tonight? That's easy button. Right. Am I going to, you know, have something actually really good for me? Hard button, you know, although it's good steak, which I think is on the plate tonight. It's going to be an easy button and it's still good for me. So
we're having a chicken fajitas tonight. We had steak last night. It was delicious. No, but again, like, even hitting the hard button and going the extra step to learn about crowd health and understand the model, it's reaching parity in terms of convenience with the insurance model.
Yeah, and we'll be beyond parity. We'll be 10x better.
Yeah.
At the end of this year.
Yeah.
With the Lightning will be awesome. It might be a little bit funky in the beginning, and I think Bitcoiners okay with it, understanding that, like, Lightning can be a little bit funky, you know. And so they'll understand it. They'll be, hopefully, give us a little bit of grace, but it'll still, the fundamentals will work like they have for the last almost 3 years.
Yeah.
So stick with it. Give us some grace. We're working with Breeze on the wallet.
Hell yeah.
So they're kind of the back end tech. We're using their SDK, you know, so we didn't have to do any of that. Everybody, it feels like within the community, you know, they're highly regarded in terms of.
Yeah, I mean, that SDK is one of the most robust, and they've been working on that for a while.
Yeah. And they got some really cool stuff going on in the back end that allows some of the payment processing things to work really, really nicely. Yeah. So, and we're making, you know, strides in Lightning too. So, I think as that happens, as we mature a little bit more, it's going to be 10x better than health insurance, just in terms of, like, the payment system.
Yeah.
You know, so it'll get better.
We're going to win, freaks.
We're going to win.
Because of people like you, Andy, hitting the hard button, doing the things to bring these better models to the market. It's extremely important. Thank you. I'm an extremely happy customer. Member.
Appreciate it.
Community member. Extremely happy community member.
Thanks for your support. thanks to all those folks out there on the Bitcoin world that have supported us. Yeah, just super appreciate it. And let's win.
It's open enrollment. You have a decision to make over the next few months. Hit the heart button.
TFTC, you get $99 for 6 months. It's pretty damn good. And you're automatically enrolled in the Bitcoin community. So the Bitcoin crowd. Do it.
Join crowdhealth.com/TFTC. Mid-roll. We call that a mid-roll in the industry. Andy, I'll probably see you tomorrow in the office.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, brother.
Peace and love, freaks.